I want you to open your Bibles today to the book of John, a very familiar passage of Scripture found in the 10th chapter of John. Now, this is a message in two parts. Today, I'm going to preach on the subject, the shepherd of the sheep, from John chapter 10. We'll look at verses 14 through 18, John 10, 14 through 18. And the subject will be the shepherd of the sheep. And then next Sunday, next week, I'm going to bring you the second part of this message, and the title of the message will be The Sheep of the Shepherd. Now, if you want the message on tape, remember those titles. Two messages, they'll be on the same cassette tape. I'll bring one this morning and then one next Sunday. And the subject today is the shepherd of the sheep. And next Sunday, next broadcast, I'll speak on the sheep of the shepherd. Now, there are several reasons why this is an important message in two parts. There are several reasons why all of you should be interested in these messages and why I'm emphasizing them like I am. I want you to listen today and listen next Lord's Day, and then I want you to get the tape and share it with friends. This is an important message in two parts. The shepherd of the sheep and the sheep of the shepherd. Now, there's several reasons why this message is of great importance. First of all, these are the words of our Lord Himself. Now, I know that the entire Bible is the Word of God. I believe very strongly that the Bible is verbally inspired, that it is the Word of God. I believe that very strongly. But these words that I'm going to be dealing with today and next week are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He spoke these words to a congregation of people. This is His message. This is His sermon. This is His exhortation. And that's why it's so important. And then secondly, these words have to do with His person and work. He's talking about Himself. He's talking about the shepherd of the sheep, and He's talking about the sheep of the shepherd. He's talking about who He is. He's talking about what He came to do. He's talking about the people for whom He did it. In other words, these are the words of our Lord, and He's talking about Himself, the shepherd of the sheep, and He's talking about His people, the sheep of the shepherd. I just came back from Mexico. I was down there visiting some missionaries and preaching in some of the pueblos in Mexico. And there's a man down there by the name of Roberto. He owns a coffee plantation, a coffee ranch. And he comes to hear the missionary quite often, the missionary down in Chiapas. And they're good friends. And one day they were riding in the truck together. The missionary was driving, and Roberto, the man who owns the coffee ranch, was sitting next to him. And he turned to the missionary, and speaking in Spanish, that's the language they speak there, he said, I heard you say that God sent you to Mexico to preach the gospel because the Lord had some sheep down here, and that you came down here with the gospel seeking those sheep. He said, do you suppose that I could be one of those sheep that God sent you down here to preach to and to find? And the missionary said, well, I certainly hope so. And that's what our Lord's talking about here in John chapter 10. He's talking about the shepherd of the sheep, and He's talking about the sheep of the shepherd. And He's saying these things in His own words. And I'll tell you the third reason why that you ought to be interested in this 10th chapter of John and what our Lord has to say here is because of the twofold effect which these words had upon the people that heard them. Now, a lot of people heard what our Lord had to say here. And this message that He preached here, these two messages that I'm going to be bringing you to this Sunday and next Sunday, these words had a twofold effect upon the people. First of all, some got quite angry. Quite angry. It says in verse 19, there was a great division among the people because of these words. Some of them said, he hath a devil. Some of them said, he's crazy. Why do you listen to him? They got so angry at these words of our Lord. In verse 31, after he talked about the sheep of the shepherd, that's what they had to say when he talked about the shepherd of the sheep. They said, he's crazy. He's got a devil. They're talking about the Lord himself. And then after he talked about the sheep of the shepherd, they took up stones to stone him. They were so angry they were going to kill him. So some people got quite angry, but some were very comforted by these words. And some of you will be very comforted. Maybe some of you will get angry. Maybe some of you will be comforted. But which will it be, anger or assurance? Will it be comfort or will it be consternation, disapproval? Well, let's take the first one. You open your Bible there to John chapter 10, and let's look at verse 14. John 10, 14. The Lord Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. That's the first words he uses here. I am the good shepherd. Now, whatever type or symbol our Lord chooses by which to reveal his person and work, he always uses this definite article. I am the good shepherd. There isn't another. As far as shepherds are concerned and redemption is concerned and life eternal is concerned, I am the only good shepherd. He says that I am the door. There is no other door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pastures. I am the door. He said, I am the light of the world. There is no other light. He said, I am the bread of life. I am that bread that came down from heaven. Moses gave you bread from heaven, but they ate it and died. If any man eat this bread, he'll never die. I'm the bread. I am the water of life. And then he said in John 14, 6, I'm the way to God. There's no other way. I am the truth. All truth is in Christ. I am the life, the way, the truth, and the life. So here he says, I'm the good shepherd. Well, there's none good but God, but he's God. And he's good. Our Lord Jesus Christ is good in that he's sinless. He's holy. No fault in him. No blame. No sin. He's good in that he loves his people. And he's good in that he goes out and seeks the sheep and brings them back. I'm the good shepherd. And again, he's called the great shepherd. Paul in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 said, God brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The great shepherd, the victorious shepherd. Victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over the grave, victorious. He is the great shepherd. And then Peter talks about him in this vein. He said, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, then shall you receive a reward, a crown of righteousness. That chief shepherd. All other shepherds are under shepherds. Under servants. He's the chief shepherd. So when our Lord uses a symbol or a type, I'm the good shepherd. A definite article. Always. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. Look at verse 14. The second statement, he says, I know my sheep. I know my sheep. Now the question may be raised, but Pastor, doesn't God know everybody? Doesn't God know all things? Is there anything or anyone that God does not know? My friends, it's true that God's omniscient. Now we say God's omnipresent, all present, present everywhere. God is omnipotent, all powerful. God is omniscient, all-knowing. And there's a sense in which God knows all things. God knows all men. God knows even their thoughts. Oftentimes the scripture says that Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said this. But my friends, as he says this, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. God does not know all people in the same way that he knows his sheep. That's what he's talking about here. I know my sheep. I love my sheep. I approve of my sheep. I accept my sheep. I know them. You see, in Matthew chapter 7, at the judgment, our Lord said, many will say to me, Lord, we preached in your name, cast out devils in your name, did many wonderful works, but I will reply, I never knew you. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. I know my sheep. He knows about those workers of iniquity. He knows of them. He knows their deeds. He knows their doings. But he doesn't know them in the sense he knows his sheep any more than a man knows all women like he knows his wife. The scripture says Adam knew his wife. There was an intimacy. There was a union. There was a oneness. And when Christ says here, I know my sheep, that's what he's saying. Like he said in 2 Timothy 2:19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I know my sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Now watch this. He knows them because the Father gave them to him. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. He said in John 17, Father, I finished the work you gave me to do. You have given me power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. He knows his sheep in that the Father gave them to him. And then he knows his sheep and calls them his own. He says, my sheep. My sheep. He says there, it's my church. I will build my church. He says they're my disciples. He calls them my jewels. They're his. He knows them because the Father gave them to him. He knows them because they're his, and he's always known them. You know what he said to Jeremiah? He said, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I knew thee. Now he said to those people at the judgment, I never knew thee. And he says to Jeremiah, I've always known thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you came from your mother's womb, I sanctified you and set you apart before you had any existence. I knew you. He says to Jeremiah also in chapter 31, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Why did he draw Jeremiah? Because he's always loved him. Why does he love him now? He's always loved him. Jacob have I loved. He said to Jacob and Esau's mother before the children were born, before they did any good or evil, he said, Jacob have I loved. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. I'm the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. I know my sheep. I know my sheep. And he says, they know me. Yes, I know. We know in part. There's none of us going to boast about how much we know of the Lord and how much we love the Lord and how much knowledge we have. We know in part. We preach in part. We see through a glass dimly. But we do know whom we have believed. It's not I know what I believe. It's I know when I believe. It's I know whom I have believed. We know him. Scripture says in 1 John 5, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God, and this is eternal life. And that's how we know him, as the true God, as the only God, as the living God, as very God of very God. We know him. We know him as the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one whom God said would come. And he's the one that did come. And he's the one who intercedes at the right hand of the Father. We know him. We know him in his office. He's our prophet, priest, and king. Prophet to reveal God, priest to make atonement before the Father and King to reign over us. We know Him as our mediator, the only mediator between God and men is Christ Jesus. We do know Him. We continue to come to Him and continue to believe on Him, continue to look to Him. And we trust by the Word of God, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. So much to learn. So much we don't know. So much we don't know. But we do know Him. We can say with Paul, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded, confident, that He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Our confidence and our hope is in Christ. The songwriter said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. His oath, His covenant, His blood. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is my only hope and stay. And look at verse 15. He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. Now this statement is read with the preceding verse. Now listen to it together. Christ said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. They know me. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. In other words, I know my sheep and my sheep know me as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I know that seems to be beyond understanding. How can we know God and God know us like God knows the Son and the Son knows the Father? I don't know, but I know He prayed in John 17. He says, Father, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and Thou in me, that they may be one. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them. Now, I don't understand that, but I'm just saying that Christ said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And then He said this, look, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, here are some things that are quite clear. Everybody listening to my voice knows that this is true. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. Do you know that? I know that. That's so. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived on this earth. He was born of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law, lived a perfect life. No one could find any fault in Him. He died on a cross. He died as a substitute, as a sin offering, as a sacrifice on a cross for sin. He died the just for the unjust, to bring somebody to God. He arose again. He arose from the grave on the third day, and He ascended to glory. And the Scripture says He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And there He is an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Our forerunner has entered for us within the veil. He's at the right hand of God. He's the mediator. The Scripture says there's one God and one mediator between God and men. Advocate, mediator, and intercessor. Now, you know those things to be true. Did I go through them too quickly? No, I didn't. He came. He lived. He died. He arose. He ascended. He's seated. He reigns. He intercedes. Now the question comes, for whom did He come? For whom did He live and die? For whom did He arise from the grave and ascend and intercede? For whom does He pray? Well, He tells us right here. He says, listen. Now this is the reason some were comforted and some grew angry. He said, I am the good shepherd. Now I know my sheep, and they know me. And I know them like the Father knows me, and they know me like I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. What does the word for mean? F-O-R. For. Well, it means in the place of, doesn't it? In the stead of. If boys are playing basketball and a young man goes in far another one. They say number 15 is going in far number 25. That takes his place, doesn't it? Number 25 comes out, number 15 goes in. He goes in for him, in the stead of, in the place. What far? He's carrying the load for me. What does that mean? He's doing it and I'm not. He's doing it for me. He paid the bill for me. We go into a restaurant or into a clothing store and he tell me I owe so much, and the fellow says, I'll pay it. He pays it for me. When I don't pay it, he did. And this is what our Lord is saying. I lay down my life for my sheep in the place of, in the stead of. That's what Isaiah said. He's wounded for our transgressions. Then I'm not wounded. He is. He was bruised for my iniquities. Not I, but he has been wounded and bruised. And by his stripes I'm healed. Put your name in there. He was wounded for Henry Mahan's transgressions. He was bruised for Henry Mahan's iniquities. The chastisement of Henry Mahan's peace was laid on him, and by his stripes, Henry Mahan's healed. That's substitution. And then he said in verse 16, I lay down my life for my sheep. And then he says in verse 16, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring. In other words, he looked at these 12 disciples, Peter, James, John, Nathaniel, all of them. And he says, these are not all of my sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, but this is not all of them. Other sheep I have. I already have. Other sheep I have. Where did he get them? The Father gave them to him. Other sheep I have. Now watch what he says. And them also, in the same way that I call Matthew, I'll call them. Matthew, follow me. Peter, James, John, follow me. I call these, I'll call them. Other sheep also I must bring. Must. Oh, how many times does it say in the Scripture, the Son of Man must be lifted up. He must needs go through Samaria. He said the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem. Must suffer and die. It's a necessity. And he says, these sheep that I have, I must bring them. I must bring them. Not stand back and invite them. Not stand back and challenge them to come. He says, I must bring them. The shepherd went out into the wilderness and found the sheep and put it on his shoulders and did what? Brought it home. He brought it home. He didn't lead it home or drive it home. He brought it home on his shoulders. And he died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. Do you see that? Other sheep I have. Maybe I'm talking to some sheep. Maybe Roberto down there at San Rafael in Lower Chiapas, maybe he's one of God's sheep. Maybe God sent that missionary to tell him about Christ so he could bring him home, so he'd believe. And here's what he says, and they shall hear my voice. They shall. I love the shalls of God's word. They shall. No maybe, perhaps, or due to certain conditions. They shall. They shall hear my voice. They'll hear his voice of regeneration. They that in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. And they'll hear his voice in the gospel, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. They'll hear my voice. They will. As I preach, someone just reminded me, this is program number 500. Number 500. Number 900, I beg your pardon. This is program number 900. In all of these telecasts that I've been making up here at Channel 13, number 900. And I've preached to a lot of people. And this is what I know when I preach. When I preach this gospel, his sheep shall hear his voice, and they will come. He'll bring them. They'll come. And they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Does this sound like there's any doubt about the population of his kingdom or the populating of his kingdom? Does it sound like there's any doubt about the populating of his sheepfold or of heaven? He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd who has the sheep and knows them, and they know him, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Because I must bring them. I must. Now look at verse 17. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. How do we find out what this means? Well, I believe we find out what this means by discovering what we already know. What we already know. Christ said, therefore, because of what I've done, doth my Father love me. Well, I know this. The Father's always loved him. The Father's always delighted in him. The Father's always accepted Christ as the eternal Son of God, one with God in essence and power and purpose. The Father's always loved him. But Christ is saying here, because of what I've done and who I am, my Father loves me. Because I lay down my life, my Father loves me. He's speaking here as the shepherd of the sheep. That's my subject, the shepherd of the sheep. He's speaking here as the redeemer of a people. He's speaking here as the Messiah who sent and the servant who came to do the Father's will and the successful mediator. And the laying down of his life was the supreme act of obedience. And he said, therefore doth my Father love me because I laid down my life. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience for the things that he suffered. The Father's pleased with my substitute. He's pleased with me. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased, the Father said. If his Father accepts my substitute, he accepts me. He said, no man takes my life from me. Verse 18, I lay it down of myself. Jesus Christ, most unusual, he chose when he would come into the world. He chose the nation through which he'd come. He chose the woman who'd give him birth. He chose the time that he would die. He chose the way that he would die. He chose the people for whom he would die. He's truly Lord. When you see these signs in a church, Jesus is Lord. Is he really? Lord of lords and King of kings, sovereign over all things. That's the Christ. That's the shepherd of the sheep. And that's why he can bring his sheep. Well, write for the message if you want it. Send $2, the shepherd of the sheep, and the next message, the sheep of the shepherd. Till next week. God bless you.